Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. He speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Now, without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Erica Hornsall from Chicago, Illinois, the United States of America. She is a licensed clinical professional counselor and a board-certified dance and movement therapist. And her session is called The Therapist Who Moves You, helping you change your life by changing the way you move through it. Erica, the stage is yours. Please unmute yourself.
There we go. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited about this whole conference, and there's so many conferences happening at the same time. So I find myself kind of popping in and out, and definitely checking out all the offerings because there's so much. It's so amazing. And I think it's so necessary at this time. So wherever you guys are tuning in from, I hope everyone's staying well. It's not lost on me that this is a really challenging time for, I think, everyone in a lot of different ways. So we're going to dive right in. I will say that all of the information that I'm presenting is actually in a workbook called Beyond Words, Using Movement to Support the Therapeutic Relationship. So if you missed some information, you can always contact me. But if you're looking for like a comprehensive guide, right, where all of this is listed and a lot of stuff that I probably won't get to today, you can reach out to me and you can actually like purchase the workbook. Doesn't matter where you are internationally. So if you miss anything or didn't get to write it down, I prefer that you listen, get as much as you can. And then, like I said, if you're really interested in it later, it is in a workbook. So you can find it all in one place. All right, we're gonna get started. So again, this is Beyond Words, Using Movement to Support the Therapeutic Relationship. And that intro by Mark was actually perfect because we are focusing on the body and specifically in the therapeutic relationship. So whether that's coaching, therapy, a therapeutic work, whether it's your own work, if we're not using the body, we are missing so, so much. 85% of our communication is in our bodies. And if we're not bringing that to the table, we are missing a bulk of the communication that we are putting out and that we are trying to receive from our clients. So I believe that many of you are here or will be watching this because you know there's inherent value in using movement in therapy, but you're in need of some guidance. There's a lot of question around how to do this safely, how to do it ethically. Oftentimes we think that we need to go back to school for another degree. We need to get more certifications or trainings. And I'm here to say that while this is not me training or teaching dance movement therapy, there are many things about movement that are not proprietary, right? We all have the right to use it. We're all in a body. We all have a right to know how to use that body to better ourselves and to better our clients. And so that's my hope, is to share some of my tips, tools, interventions, techniques, and tricks with you all today. If you have any questions, please let me know. There will be time at the end to ask questions as well. So I'm going to tell you a brief story as to why I created this workbook, why I thought it was important. When I was just starting out as a therapist, specifically as a dance movement therapist, I really wanted more people to know about dance movement therapy. And two, was just really passionate and kind of wanted to meet other people in the realm of psychotherapy, specifically in Chicago. And so I went and did a lunch and learn, right? I went to a pretty large practice in Chicago, spoke with their therapists over the lunch period. And we were getting towards the end, but one of the therapists had to leave and she looked really upset about it. Like, I don't want to leave, but I have to. And so I said, if you don't mind me asking, like, you know, why the hesitation? Because usually we want to hope that we want to work with our clients, right? I want to be like, ooh, I have to go see a client now. It's not always fun, but it's rewarding, right? And she was like, I hate meeting with this client. And I was like, oh, I mean, we've all been there, but why? And she said, well, the client sits at the edge of her seat and kind of shakes and is jittery the entire session. And it's unsettling and it drives me crazy. And my immediate reaction was like, well, have you addressed that with her? Have you mentioned that? And the therapist said, no, it has nothing to do with why she's there. And I was like, I wish you could stay, because that's what we're talking about. So it made me wonder, right? Like, why don't all clinicians know to bring the body or to just bring awareness of the body into a therapeutic session? Because that could have been easily one session, if not maybe 3 months worth of work, right? Noticing the body, what's coming up? Why is there jitteriness? Can you slow it? Just, there's a myriad of ways to deal with that, right? And if you're not trained in the body, I understand that that's uncomfortable, or we may be afraid to do that. We don't know what that looks like. So these will be some practical tools, I hope, that you can use right away for yourself and for your clients, whatever that looks like. If you find me looking down or to the side, I'm just checking notes. So what are you going to get out of this? Hopefully if you're looking for ways to support your clients' verbal processing, if you're stuck, I put quotes, stuck, whether that's physically or emotionally, and you need other approaches to deepen your work. If you want to establish trust and rapport with your clients sooner than later, like Mark said, if you want to get at the problem right away, get in through the body. And if you're interested in using movement, but not focusing on trauma, that's what we're hearing so much of right now, right? That movement is around trauma. If you have trauma, well, sometimes we hear big T trauma, little T trauma, you need movement regardless. This is not just a trauma-specific training. This is any form of therapy or coaching. You need to get into the body, right? So just kind of setting the record straight on that. So I'm going to be providing you with tools to tap into your own body knowledge to support your current skill set, guide your clients to greater self-awareness and emotional processing, and support the therapeutic relationship by recognizing and integrating nonverbal communication. All right, so let's dive in. So I'm really big on reframing movement. What does that even look like? So my first question to you, or first posing rather, is I want you to consider that you are how you move. You are how you move. I think it's vital that we recognize and kind of look at our own relationship to movement before we try to put movement into our sessions. And so before we begin, I should have said this earlier, but hopefully you all have a piece of paper, something you can write on, maybe your phone to take notes. I want you to write down all the ways that you have moved today. How have you moved today? Whether it's 8 a.m. where you are or 8 p.m. where you are. That list may look different, but what are all of the ways that you have moved just today? Take just a few, maybe a minute to write that down or think of it in your head. And actually, if you want to, share them in the chat box so we can kind of see what your framing of movement is. How do you define that for yourself? And what are ways that you've moved? Notice too that I didn't bring you into your bodies yet. I just want to know, like, where are we sitting with? What does movement look like? Okay, so some yoga, maybe a bit of dancing, walking around your garden. Great. There's no right or wrong answer here, really, anything. Stretching when I wake up. Walked, lifted coffee, typed, brushed, grasped, sat, reached, pressed, chewed. Ooh, you did your homework. Got out of bed, stretched, showered, sat, standing desk. I need to get one of those. Walking up and down the stairs to the kitchen. Yeah. All right. So you can keep speaking in the chat. I'm going to move forward. But notice how sometimes our inclination is to go into the physical, right? The exercise, the larger movements. And what some people already beautifully demonstrated, right, is that movement is more than that, right? Movement is how we get out of bed, how we sit, how we wake up, our posture, our gesture, brushing our hair, making our food. Yes, it can be fitness, making breakfast, right? It's reframing movement. I had a client yesterday that said, oh, on a side note, I really haven't moved today. And I was like, really? Let's think about that. How have you moved? Because I knew she meant that she hadn't taken her dance class or she wasn't getting on the treadmill. But for me, it's about looking at all the ways that we're moving. And if we are, or when we are, right? Because movement is life. We're always moving. Christine Caldwell said, if we're not moving, we're not living. We're dead, right? So if you're cooking, right? Can you spend more time doing that? Can you chop? Can you dice? Can you peel? If you're taking your dog out for a walk, maybe instead of 5 minutes, can you extend it to 10 minutes, right? Look at the ways you're already moving and tap into those. Okay, so in the interest of time, I actually want to move forward a little bit. And I just want to talk about, for me, movement is a form of communication, but it's also a means of expression. How often has this happened to you all where you're confined to your chair, you feel the urge to get up, but maybe feel it's inappropriate during a session? Maybe you're distracted by your client's movements and just wish that they would sit still. Or you feel yourself falling asleep or maybe zoning out and you're holding out for that break between sessions to grab a cup of coffee. The truth is movement isn't something you do, it's who you are. It's in everything you do. And so for me, meeting a client where they are also means meeting them in their bodies. And that may be, again, through movement, posture, gesture, tone of voice, and just really paying attention with your body, not just your ears. So this is not new, but we may have heard that all exercise is movement, but not all movement is exercise. And we've been so conditioned to view movement as exercise or strenuous activity that we've forgotten all the ways that our bodies move every day. Breathing, heartbeat, right? Some of those things, stretching, standing up, cooking breakfast, smiling, brushing our teeth, making eye contact. Sometimes just physically moving the body, right? Anytime we shift, we change position, right? We lean with the other side. I mean, that is all movement and we do it so many times a day, we don't even pay attention to it. It's really something that we take for granted. So it's also about how connected we are in our bodies. This, I think, is very dependent on where we live as well, right? What civilization, what part of the country we come from, how connected we are individually versus culturally. And so I'm actually just gonna take a few moments now to just get us in our bodies and see if that just shifts our awareness ever so slightly into how we're currently moving in this moment. So I invite you to just kind of either sit back, maybe some of you are standing, but place your feet on the floor. Right, and just notice your posture. You don't have to change it, just notice it. Draw attention to your breath for just a moment. Notice if it's present. Notice how aware you are of it. Notice where it is. Is it in your belly? Is it in your chest? Is it throughout your body? Are you feeling really, really connected to your breath right now? And just take a moment to breathe. Taking in air is a privilege. Not everybody can breathe as freely as others, whether that's because of your atmosphere, your air quality, a medical condition, or social injustice that has occurred. it's important that we just tap into that privilege that we're able to breathe in this moment. And so I invite you to breathe in through your nose and blow out through your mouth. And try that a few times and just notice as you're breathing, as you become more aware of your breath, how your body shifts, how it changes. And if you need to, allow your body to shift, right? So maybe you're noticing that something's a little uncomfortable. It's not so normal for us. Well, maybe it's more norm now, but it's not always easy for us to be sitting in front of a screen, you know? So allow your body to move, to shift. Notice any sensations, maybe tensions that may be coming up into the body, and just allow yourself to shift, allow yourself to move through that. If you need to stretch, by all means. And keep in mind, I mean, this is something you can invite your clients into as well. You know, just sitting down in front of you and just noticing, you know, what they bring into the room, allowing somebody to just be and breathe and stretch can be very giving, very different than what maybe they're used to in other, I don't know, typical sessions, let's say. So I know we're moving a little fast through this, but I want to make sure that we get through techniques and tools and tips. But I encourage you now, just noticing what you notice in your body, to also write down, how are you moving right now? What are you noticing now that maybe you didn't notice just 10 minutes ago? Has your list of how you're moving changed from this period to when we first checked in just a few moments ago? And put those in the chat box, if you will. A bit dizzy after deep breathing. Yeah, and that can happen. So I think like just going back to whatever feels standard, kind of normalizing your breath is really important too. Certainly sitting down while we're doing that can help. Or even if a client says that and there's a way for them to lay back, rest, or even lay down. Notice what my body needs, where it needs to stretch, and how drawing attention to my body made me aware of where pain and tension is. That's a really good point. So many times we don't want to pay attention to it because negative sensation, well, I'm sorry, I'm putting that on myself. Pain to me can feel negative. So if I pay attention, sometimes these negative sensations can come up when to me, really physically, maybe pain feels negative, but it is a symptom. It is a sign, right? That we need to pay attention. So thank you for that. Fingers are moving, belly in and out. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want everybody to see it, make sure that when you're sending your message, it says to all panelists and attendees. Left foot aches, writing and shifting my weight, crossing my legs. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully you're seeing just in a few moments, right? How not only are you noticing how your body shows up, right? How movement supports you, right? And how it creates change and shift. But if this is happening for you, imagine what it could happen or what it could do for your clients, right? And how much more supported they can feel in that relationship just by recognizing, validating, and supporting their bodies and their minds. All right, so we're gonna set the stage. So these are some things that can validate or invalidate your client's presence. So some examples would be eye contact, right? Making eye contact can really validate a client, or it can really invalidate a client if we're not looking at them, if we feel like they're not present or we're not present to their needs. Volume and tone of voice, right? That's actually way more important than what the words are that are coming out of somebody's mouth. Those are important, but the tone is actually a greater percentage. And then obviously there's nonverbal communication, tone, actual words. Navel orientation. So just thinking about how you're facing, I know you guys can't see my entire body right now, But me facing this way, while it can feel confrontational, so we have to be careful of how we're facing our clients, doing this and actually sitting sideways shows disinterest, and that we're not connected or committed, right? Because we could easily just kind of look this way and, oh yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, how'd that make you feel? Okay. So it's really important that we channel and focus on where the orientation of our navel, of our center. Also movement with regard to cultural differences. We may think that we are being compassionate and empathic in our movements, but if we're not familiar with or not taking into account our client's culture, we could actually be moving in a way that's counterproductive, counterintuitive, or right out disrespectful. So that's really also something that we need to pay attention to. So I think it's really important to also pay attention to things like space, touch, gesture, posture, that before even like the client walks into the room, it's important that we check in with those things for ourselves. So I think about like walking into a store, which I know is not happening for everybody these days, but walking into your favorite store, if a sales associate approaches you and they don't, just consider what would happen in their body that would make you never want to return to that store again, or really allows you to feel engaged with that person. Like they're hearing you, like they're listening to you, and like they really want to help you. While it's not a confidential therapy setting, it still impacts your experience. It can either make you want to return or make you never step foot in that store again, right? Or only do your shopping online. So I ask you, is your nonverbal communication supporting your client or is it hindering them? Are you feeling there's a lack of connection? Is there a place of stuckness? And can body be a way that we move through that? So as a dance therapist, I like to say that we don't just listen with our ears, but we listen with our entire bodies. If I could listen with my pinky toe, I do. and so something called empathic reflection, this is not a phrase that I coined. You can search it. There's a lot more research about it, but in the interest of time, it's a deeper form of active listening. It's about listening with your body, not just your ears. Works by Beryl in 2006 described empathy as going beyond understanding one's emotional state and embodying the experience of that state, right? When you're aware of your own body, you can use it as a tool, I believe, for reflection and deeper empathy. So how can you sharpen your listening skills? How can we be more empathic listeners? One, scan your body before each session. I'm guessing that idea of a body scan is not new to a lot of us. Again, not proprietary to dance movement therapy. It's an age-old practice, I believe, kind of coming out of Buddhism or Buddhist practice. And it doesn't have to take a long time. It can be very brief. But just scan your body. Notice what's happening in your body before that client steps in. Or if you have the ability to create or set the space before you start to see your clients, even better. Pay attention to your body language during the session. I know that seems difficult because we think, well, I'm supposed to be paying attention to my client, right? But there should be time for introspection. There should be time for even interoception, right? That Porges talks about. So really allow yourself to try to check in just a few moments throughout your sessions and noticing what's happening in your body, because that could be a response to what you're hearing from your client. In addition to active listening, we can also mirror our client's nonverbal communication. And so without going into too much depth, what are some ways we can do that? Again, tone of voice, volume of voice. If your client is kind of quiet, then maybe you match that. Maybe it's just a quieter tone. Right. And if your client's really loud and they're fast and things are going really quickly, and maybe we match that for them and then find a way to regulate through that or just draw attention. I'm feeling a little rushed right now. Or are you feeling that too? What do you notice about the rhythm of your voice or the volume? Right. Just bring awareness to it. Try saying things like what I hear. We say what I hear you saying, but try saying what I feel you saying. Right. What I hear you saying is this. That's pretty common in therapy, maybe some coaching circles, but we rarely say what I feel you saying. What I feel you saying. How does the visceral response show up in your body when you hear a client say something? All right, so I want to go through just some phrases that you might want to be able to use, like gathering my notes here, I'll go slow. So if you want to take notes, you can. But these are some phrases I use in therapy that allow body to be a little bit more present. Obviously, that is the bulk of the work that I do. But if this is not your territory or something that feels unfamiliar, here are some phrases you might want to try. What do you notice in your body? Right? Just asking a client, what do you notice in your body? Where do you feel that in your body? Right? Client says, I'm anxious today. Where do you feel that? How do you know you're anxious? Pay attention to any sensations in your body. Right? Sometimes we as therapists or coaches, like I can only speak for myself. So I should say sometimes in a session, I might catch myself saying, you have to do something, say something. Like there's a pause, there's a silence. Use that silence and just allow your client to inquire, to pay attention to any sensations in their body. And maybe they can write them down or express them or show them or process them. How about take a moment to check in with your body, right? So you welcome the person in, how are you today? Lovely weather we're having. I just want to take a moment to breathe together. Just take a moment to check in with your body. What are you feeling? Period, right? You don't have to do anything necessarily with that information. Just draw awareness and allow them to be present to what's happening. How about connect to your breath, right? Can we connect to our breath right now? Can we take a moment to connect to our breath? How about, how does that impact your body? How does that impact your body, right? I'm feeling really overwhelmed today. I have so much on my mind. I have 5 appointments. My mom's in the hospital, this whole pandemic thing. So for somebody to say, how does that impact your body? It causes the client to stop for a moment and think, maybe I don't know how that impacts my body, or let me tell you all the ways. Take a stretch break, right? I've had people say, oh, I wish I could stand during my sessions. You can, right? Like nothing is saying you have to sit in your chair the whole time. You don't have to have your client lay down on a sofa. It's what we've been conditioned to. It's what we see mostly, I think, in a lot of like Western practices as well. Take a stretch break. Allow your client to get a sip of water if they need it. Maybe you need it. We're human. We need to meet these basic needs, even while we're, especially while we're in relationship. And lastly, notice what your body needs. Notice what your body needs right now, right? I think we say, what do you need? But that becomes cognitive. Oftentimes we're in our head about it. Notice what your body needs. Okay, so some phrases to practice. Maybe just ask yourself, right? All right, so just a few more kind of little tidbits about movement, right? For me, it's the difference between moving on and moving through, right? I know we want to get to a place where our clients feel resilient, accomplished, like they've maybe tackled a problem or dealt with a behavior or a negative thought. But it's so important to move through those places, not just on, right? Don't just acknowledge it and move away. How can we really move through those? Using movement in a session can be the difference between termination and determination, right? I've had so many talk therapists who, lots of friends, colleagues are talk therapists, you know, kind of say like, oh, I had to terminate with a client because I just couldn't help them. And that's true. I mean, that can happen. It's not always our area of expertise, or there's just not a great match, right? But is it because there's something missing from the relationship, from the connection that you can actually bring to the table? So allow movement to move from termination to determination for you and for your client. And especially if we're feeling stuck, whether as the therapist, the coach, or the client, moving literally mobilizes the body, which creates mobility in the mind, right? Move the mind, move the body. So whether you're a therapist who's feeling stuck with a client or a client who's feeling stuck in the therapeutic process, movement can be a wonderful tool to get us back on track and to support moving forward, literally moving. All right, so keeping the session moving, right? I want to keep this session moving, and I want to make sure that I get to some like interventions that I can share with you all and save time for questions. So if you've ever felt stuck in a session as a coach or a therapist, I think this part has the potential to become kind of your best friend. So I think in order to keep a session moving, there must be an awareness and a priority placed on how we move throughout the day or throughout our sessions. So it's important because, I should say, why is it important? It's important because we want to tune into the body to allow us and our clients to be more present, right? We want to increase our body awareness to reduce burnout. Paying attention to our body supports our own self-regulation, right? So that we can take on, but also set boundaries and limits. We can practice something Christine Caldwell calls bodyfulness, not just mindfulness, but bodyfulness, to enhance our own resilience. And we can model this practice for our clients, which supports their growth, right? We can kind of grow in this parallel process. So keep in mind that even stillness has movement, right? My body may be still, but there's so much movement happening inside. I'm breathing, my heart's beating, blood is flowing through my veins, vessels, right? Cells are dividing. So we don't have to be actively engaged in movement to recognize that movement is happening and that it happens on a cellular level. I think the key is to bring awareness to your body and to pay attention to the changes and the sensations in order to support your capacity to be a safe container for your clients or to create a safe space for your clients to be. So I like to break it down pre-session, during session, post-session. So what are some things that you can do, right, for yourself in order to be more present for your clients? And then we'll go through some things that you can give your clients to be more present to themselves and to bring their body into it. So pre-session, I think it's really vital that we allow ourselves to ground and to center before going into a session, right? Because we don't always know what that client's going to be bringing in, and we want to own what we bring to the table, but also where we are currently. So I think placing your feet firmly on the ground while standing or sitting, lengthening your body, creating a lift in your spine, right? So I don't like to say like sit up tall because not everybody can do that or it looks different for everybody, but just the sensation of lifting, right? Can you lift the body? Can you open? What does that look like? Practice some breathing for self-regulation, you know, just noticing your breath. That breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth can really help. And the technique of breathing out for a little bit longer than you inhale can help us tap into that diaphragm, right? That diaphragmatic breathing. And allow us to activate that vagal nerve, right? That vagus nerve, which is very spoken obviously about in polyvagal theory, which if you're interested in that, you should definitely go check it out by Porges. Also draw your attention to any bodily felt sensations. Okay, so grounding, attention to breath, noticing your own sensations. This will allow you to recognize what's yours and what's your client's, right? So during the session, I think it's really handy to keep a drink with you, right? Make sure there's some water next to you, not just to stay hydrated, although that's really important, but to be aware of the sensation, right? If you need to bring yourself back to the present moment, taking a sip and being mindful of the water or whatever it is going down your throat, very present orienting. Changing or shifting your posture to change your perspective, right? If you've noticed that you've been sitting in the same position, shift your body. And encourage your own grounding during the session by putting your feet on the floor. If your client is feeling a little kind of up in the clouds, or you're noticing that they're speaking really fast or maybe speaking really slow and you're having a hard time being present, reset your intention by putting your feet on the floor and just pay attention to your presence so that you can be more present to them. And lastly, post-session, again, draw your attention to any bodily felt sensations. Notice how they've changed or shifted since your pre-session, right? And take inventory of what's yours and what was your client's, and find a way to unpack or express that. So if you were feeling calm and grounded before your session, and after the session, all of a sudden you're feeling tense and tight, allow yourself to recognize that and then unpack it or express it. Write it down, journal it, create some art around it, dance it out, move it out. Talk to your therapist about it. Okay. So some pre-session, during session, and post-session check-ins. I have a little movement checklist, some things that you might want to consider during or even after your session. So inviting your client to bring attention to their body, creating space to breathe into difficult feelings or emotions, right? If your client is about to overflow with emotions, whether it's anger, sadness, grief, loss, excitement, joy, pride, create space to feel those emotions. Take a moment and just breathe into it with them. Take stretch breaks, right? Maybe you just talked a lot and you're feeling some tension in your own body. Allow yourself to just say, hey, let's just take a moment to stretch, okay? Just take a breath and, you know, just reach with them or stretch your own body. Model that for them. I'm doing it right now. Oh, you might yawn. It's okay. Check in with your own body, any sensations, right? Find opportunities for grounding and centering yourself. Again, move or shift your body during the session. All right, so maybe what you guys have been waiting for. We're gonna talk interventions before we run out of time. I wanna make sure that we do this and that we have time to take any questions you might have. So I always set some ground rules, all right? These are really important. First off, I think it is important to put yourself in these situations before you put your clients there. So if you don't really have a lot of experience using your body in therapy or coaching, find somebody that can help you do that. Maybe it's, you know, a mentor, maybe it's supervision. But I think it's really important that we experience things before we bring our clients there, right? So that's kind of a disclaimer. But the rules are as follows. Do not use an intervention if you've not tried it yourself. Do not assign meaning to any movement. Simply create space for awareness and reflection, right? We're not trying to judge somebody for their movements or even say, I noticed this, this means that, right? Because maybe it means it for you as the therapist, but it may not mean that for them, right? Tension in my body may look like excitement in somebody else's. It's really, really important that we validate and just create space for somebody's experience and not to place a qualifier or a description on it. Lastly, ask for permission from your client before attempting to incorporate any movement or body into the session. We know that the body can bring up a lot, right? A lot. To me, the body houses, I mean, all of our experiences, right? And while it can be very supportive, a lot, it can kind of be like opening Pandora's box. And I had once had a client say to me, if you can't close the door, don't open it. So as therapists, as clinicians, as counselors, as coaches, I think we need to know our boundaries. We need to know when we can open a door and when we can close that door. And if we can't close it, then maybe that's not the time to try it. As a therapist, I believe it's important to understand body power, to recognize the body's wisdom, and empower each client to set their own boundaries and limits around their bodies. So rather than assuming that they want to move, just give them permission or ask, you know, I'd love to try some movement. Would you be okay with that? How do you feel about bringing some movement into our session right now? And if they say no, that's okay. You can bring awareness to that, right? Another disclaimer, while these interventions may be inspired by dance movement therapy, they're not specifically DMT interventions, okay? They're through the lens of a dance therapist. So this does not mean you can call yourself a dance therapist. This does not mean you're being trained as a dance therapist. That is a pretty extensive training in itself. And if you're interested in that, feel free to reach out to me. I would love to help you on that path. Again, I don't do that. I'm not an educator. I'm not a trainer. I'm not a professor. But a passion of mine is really spreading the field and getting more visibility for it. So if you're interested, contact me. Or you can contact the American Dance Therapy Association. Whether or not you're in America, that can be a good place to start because they can also connect you with other organizations around the world. All right, those are my disclaimers, those are my rules. So we're gonna go through some interventions that you can do and that you can try. Oh, yeah, do you have a question?
Yes, it would be lovely to practice some of those amazing juicy exercises that you recommended to do during the sessions when we have therapy. So what if we do it all together right now? Maybe some breathing, maybe some movement, anything that could bring some movement right now into this lecture.
Sure. So I was actually going to do them through the interventions that I'm going to explore.
Perfect.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, there's so much information here that if you have more questions, like definitely reach out to me afterwards. I'll make sure you have contact information. But we're going to try some of them now. So those are ways that you can support yourself as a therapist. But for me, this is about like, how can we support the therapeutic relationship? What are some interventions that we can try? All right. So here we go. So the first one, I kind of just title it identify your emotions. All right. You may have done this before. Again, this was something imparted on me through my supervisors, professors, but this is something I use a lot and I wanted to impart with you guys or share with you guys. So identifying your emotions. So I have a little diagram here, although it may be backwards. So you can make two columns. You can have your clients write an emotion column and a symbol column, all right? And we're gonna try this now. So on a piece of paper, I want you to write emotions, symbol. And take a moment and tap into a time where you found connection. Let's just say connection, whatever that means. So just take a moment and just sit with that word connection. That may not be an emotion per se, but we'll go with the word connection. It's safe in this space right now. And if you can, notice what intensity, symbol, like how would you transcribe connection? What does that look like? Not feel like, what does it look like? So I'll give you my example, but again, we're looking at connection. So the example I put in this was anger. It was just an emotion that I wrote down. And for me, anger was represented as squiggly lines. And in color, maybe it would have been red for me, red squiggly lines. So that's kind of an example, but for connection, what does connection visibly look like to you? If you had to transcribe it, what would the symbol look like? So you have connection on one side, the symbol on the other. And then what I invite you or people to do is either with a diagram like this, kind of like a body. Oh, can't see it. There we go. Or I've had clients make stick figures. Place on the body the symbol. So where do you feel connection? And if you feel your connection in your heart, let's say, draw the symbol around the heart area of your body or of that stick figure. Again, it's not about art, skill. So what you might have look like this, right? Again, this is with my anger example, but I did this and I felt anger in my head. I also felt it in my hands, and that's how I diagrammed it. So this is a quick way to explain it, right? But so you should have some type of image, right? Body image of where you feel connection and what that looks like. So you're recognizing where it is, where you feel it, the intensity of it, right? If it's a rhythm, if it's a circle, if it's a shape. Somebody said it's difficult. I don't know if you mean it's difficult doing it like this or if it's just difficult, period, to find connection in the body. But either way, that can happen. So whether you're doing Zoom sessions, because I've done this over Zoom, that can make it more difficult. You have to just kind of allow the process to happen. Maybe try it a few times. If you're finding it difficult or if your client finds it difficult to tap into that sensation, that's okay. That's okay. It's gives permission, right? Allows us to say like, where do I feel it in my body? Am I connected to that sensation? And if I'm not, that's good information for us to know. And we can be curious about what that looks like or how that feels. So here's what we can do moving together. I call it from point A to point B. So I can't see you guys, but you can do this two ways. So you can either go from one side of your screen to the other, right? You can pick like a point A, point B. Or if you feel so inclined, you can actually get up out of your chair or off the floor, off your sofa, and pick two points in your room, wherever you are. So maybe point A is my clock, and maybe point B is the door over here. So I'm going to give you a minute or two to just kind of orient yourselves to a point A and a point B. The example I'm going to give is just in this Zoom square, right? So my point A is going to be right here, and my point B is going to be right there. So after you have invited your client to try on two points, or notice two points in the room, you're going to instruct your client to walk from point A to point B efficiently as possible, as efficiently as possible. So do that for yourselves right now. So go from point A to point B as whatever efficient means for you, as efficiently as possible. I'm starting at my point A. And for me, efficiently as possible is here. You're going to instruct your client or yourself in the situation to do that again, but to walk from point A to point B as inefficiently as possible. Again, whatever that means, right? Inefficient is different than quick, fast, slow, inefficiently. So give yourself an opportunity to do that. So even if you're just watching me, right, maybe you're not doing it yourself, but just watching my example, just notice the difference between how I embody efficiently moving from A to B versus inefficiently moving from A to B. And maybe take a moment for you to notice what each felt like and any reflections that you might have on that, right? So when I do this with my clients, something I might ask is, which one felt more comfortable? Which one felt more familiar? Was one better than the other? What did you notice between the two examples? What did you notice between point A and point B? So you're welcome to answer any of those questions if you'd like to. You don't have to. But I was going to share some things that I've heard from clients when they do these examples, right? So I have heard A to B efficiently felt like my work life. I go fast, I move quickly, I always get the job done, I do it as quickly as possible, I never stop. And the impression from A to B inefficiently, almost for that individual, almost always came up as, I thought it would be difficult, thought it would be hard, I was dreading it before I started. But as I did it, I didn't realize how inviting it was going to be. Gave myself an opportunity to be playful, to be creative. I allowed myself to pause, to breathe, and I never do that. And we don't necessarily have to go any further than that, right? It's not movement therapy. It's not necessarily creative arts therapy. But just to have that knowledge of how our bodies move on a day-to-day basis and how allowing ourselves to shift the perspective and to change how we move brings up all of these metaphors. How I move through life, where I can give myself some time, where I don't give myself some time, how I can take care of myself, how I can self-care. Lastly, we won't have time to do it, but because I want to make sure that we have time for questions. But another intervention that I love to do with clients is called racing thoughts. If you've ever had a client that talks really fast or feels really overwhelmed by the thoughts that are racing or perseverating, right, that they're perseverating on, you could have them walk the intensity of their thoughts. Right? So if this is your office, or this is wherever you are, maybe outside, right? This is me walking. Maybe I'm feeling like my thoughts are, whoa, I'm running. My thoughts are running. And I can have my client just slow down the walk then they can speed it back up if they need to, and then they can slow it back down. And after trying that, right, allow them to slow down their movement. You can invite them to notice what that does for their thinking, what that does for their thoughts, because research has shown that as we slow down our movements, we slow down the pace of our thoughts. We slow down our thinking. Can do it the other way, right? Like if we're feeling unmotivated, we can kind of like pump ourselves up. But oftentimes it's the other way that I feel is so necessary. Our clients need to slow down. They want to slow down, I should say. The thoughts just keep coming and they're so fast. They need a body-based approach to slow down that processing and to reconnect. So my goodness, this easily could have been a 2 or 3 hour presentation. I don't want to hold you guys up. I want to take any questions that you might have, but I also want to remind you that this is all in a workbook. And so if you're interested or you want more interventions or you want to be able to do this for yourselves, feel free to reach out and I would love to connect you with that. So, okay. So I'm going to look at the chat, and if anybody has questions, feel free to ask them. Efficiently felt like I was in charge, in control. Inefficiently was dreamy and more fun and playful. Thank you for that. So, and again, that's your own experience. So it's so important that we don't place that on our clients, right? But that we allow for the expression and their own personal approach to what that feels like for them. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Erica. So as far as I can see, Medea just posted the link for your personal website. So if participants want to get more info as well as download your book, am I right? Is it on the website?
Yeah, they can get to it from the website. It's just a workbook that they can download. So interesting how small exercises can include movement and notice changes. Yeah, thank you for that. So again, like micro movements, I think is really where we're at right now. We're just noticing these small, very small shifts. And that it doesn't have to be large movement to be incorporated, but the smaller, almost the better, especially when we're just starting out, because it can feel very foreign, unfamiliar, or even daunting. What are your suggestions for starting to incorporate movement and body into sessions with someone who's out of touch with their body or does not feel safe in their body? So this is where it gets a little tricky, right? It depends how comfortable you feel with that, because when someone doesn't feel safe in their own body, if we're not familiar as clinicians or coaches or therapists, we can get in a little over our heads. So that's when sometimes I'll say like consult with someone, right? Reach out to, this is probably why you're doing it right now, asking someone. But one thing that you can do, especially if somebody is out of touch with their body, is just some of those referencings, right? Just start to ask, like, what do you notice? And if the person says, I don't, right? Okay, so what are some grounding techniques, right? You put your feet on the floor. We can draw attention to the breath. Some of these basic embodiment tools that, again, is a great way to just start, to just allow a person to be in the body, to notice. Bringing in the senses, asking them what they smell, what they taste, what they touch, what they see, what they hear. There's a great 5-4-3-2-1 grounding presence technique that you can use. You know, 5 things that you see, 4 things that you taste, 3 things that you smell, 2 things that you touch, one thing that you see, or a combination of those. So I think less is more, especially when you brought up the person doesn't feel safe. That's a really tricky one, right? Because we don't want to bring a sense of more unsafety. We want it to create a safe space container for that person. And so kind of check your own limits, your own boundaries, your own beliefs, and if possible, bringing in just some basic embodiment tools or basic sensing. Any tips for adults who come to DMT and take it more in a playful way than a therapeutic way, any small intervention? I think that point A to point B is a great place to start because it invites in so much movement. So if the person is like, really wants to move and dance and be playful, they can. And it can be more therapeutic. I didn't even talk about music, but you can incorporate music. You can ask them what they like to listen to, what their favorite music is. Again, not proprietary, but I've definitely had dance parties, right? I've had a client come in and just, you know, I need to let off some steam, or I need to reconnect to that playful part of myself. and we'll kind of have a little dance party and then be able to process or talk about what that was like or how it felt. Never underestimate the value of a dance party. That's not dance movement therapy, but it's a start.
So if anyone is having more questions, this is the last seconds to ask. Basically, you can post it directly in the chat. Yeah, thank you everyone for attending the session. Thank you so much, Erica, for those tips and for those exercises and techniques. It was amazing. I personally had also questions in my head trying to notice and keep with the flow of your speech. So I was thinking when you said that when we are when we're having the session and we are also thinking like when we're maybe giving comments and trying to be emphatic with our client to give them instructions what to do, and at the same time we have to be embodied and mindful ourselves. Like, is it possible actually to keep all that together? Like, for example, when you do like a guided meditation and you also do it in the same time you talk, like, so like, how do you switch or how do you keep this parallel?
I think that's a practice in itself, really, to be honest, right? You know, us practicing our own embodiment and then imparting it to our clients. That's why I said, like, it's really important that we try this stuff before we try it with our clients, because and not just to have the experience, but to be able to have that tracking. You know, I feel like that's why I went into movement therapy myself, is I'm very introspective. And I'm always in my head, but as a dance therapist, it really helped me come out and be in my body while being in my head. So it is a tricky balance, definitely. And I think sometimes even just making notes, like letting yourself, I tell my clients even like set a reminder on your phone, you know, so that it messages you, it pings you, it lets you know, like, do your body scan, check in with your body. You know, we have these rituals, right? Maybe we go to Starbucks every morning for our coffee, but we don't make movement rituals. So find a way to remind yourself to move your body. And that may be a note, keeping a note on like the back of your phone. Maybe it's if you take notes during your sessions, which I don't tend to do, right at the top of your notebook, check in with your body. And give ourselves permission, because I think like oftentimes we think if we're focusing on ourselves, then we're not there for our clients. And we need to realize that we need to be there for ourselves to be better for our clients. It's better self-care, and I think it helps the relationship overall. So it is tricky. It's really difficult, but just like meditation, it's a practice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So we have to close up. I want to invite all the participants to join our Facebook group, the Embodiment Conference, where you can share more thoughts, find the speakers, find the participants, as well as to remind that this session will be available for free to watch on our portal for the next 48 hours. And after that, we kindly ask you to purchase it while upgrading your membership on the website. The next session on this channel will be at 8 p.m. UK time, from Stefan Gilligan on the topic of generative somatic mind. Be good, have a nice day, evening, morning, whatever you have. And thank you so much for attending us. All the links are posted in the chat now by our tech host, to the Facebook group, to your resource, to the conference, and so on. And for the last thing, I would ask Erica to give her top embodiment tip for all of the participants so we can close up the session nicely.
Sure. I don't know if it's a tip as much as just something that I always like to leave my clients with, is the body holds answers to questions that the mind doesn't even know to ask. So it's really important that we start or focus on the body so that we can allow space for those questions and the ability to find those answers.
Ray, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I know I went fast and there was a lot of information. So if you guys have any questions, do not hesitate to reach out. I'd love to hear from the community.
Thank you so much. Thank you a lot. Bye-bye. Thanks. Have a good day.